clear.
Recess is over. We're on, not tonight, new business, item B and C. And although we're going to have to vote on them separately, what I would suggest is that we discuss them one time. And I also have a request for, to speak on the subject from Doug Snyder. So Doug, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm Doug Snyder. I'm a retired firefighter paramedic in Afton Bay. I was injured on the job. The reason I've come here today is just to speak on behalf of myself and, you know, I can't say I represent retirees, but I have been in contact with some of them. And the point for being here is to discuss the process or what's going on in regards to what we receive as our medical benefit being retired. Now, when I was hired in Afton Bay by Chief Delgado, there was a mention and talked about during the interview process, well, I didn't know at the time, it was called Resolution Number 95, but he made mention that if you come to work here, one of the benefits is you receive lifetime medical for you and your family for, you know, the remainder of your life, and you know, if you get injured or what have it, you're, you know, the district takes care of you. I, at the time, had many years' experience as a paramedic, and, you know, had options of where I could and couldn't go. I chose Afton Bay, partly because that was a great benefit. This was a place I liked. I used to work as a paramedic for Bayshore, then UMMR, and I really enjoyed the coast. What I'd like, you know, to see or what is going on is that I'm hearing things that medical is, you know, tied in with the firefighters and their negotiation. And in the past, I know Doug McIntosh was on the board. I used to be on the negotiation team, and there was a mention that when we came and talked about negotiating certain amounts for healthcare, you know, it came up at that point. No, we don't negotiate. You know, healthcare is taken care of by the district. We provide healthcare to our employees, and we don't negotiate that. You know, and that's what, you know, that particular issue came down to. And so now that this year you're having labor issues and going back and forth, as a retiree, I feel as though, you know, I don't vote on MOU, I don't have a say on MOU, and I don't know that with Resolution 95 that really that's the proper place for our, as retirees, health benefits to be placed. We're looking just as a retiree to get what we were told we would be receiving. And in doing so, we're just asking, I'm asking, that whatever the board decides, that, you know, we don't have this up and down cycle based upon the MOU and this back and forth. We don't have representation. We're just, you know, I get a retirement, that's true. I don't make enough to pay for my living with the family, so I work now as a real estate agent. So I try and, you know, they rely on my medical, it helps certainly every month. And so I'm just asking that, you know, whatever can be done, that it becomes consistent. And so we don't have to keep worrying as time goes by that it's there, it's not there, or it's being negotiated, not negotiated. That's just taken care of. So I do appreciate your time. And if any questions I may answer, I don't imagine you don't have any, but thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
for your comments. I would, again, just to, I think it might be easier that even though, as I say, we're going to have to vote on these, deal with these resolutions separately, but just because they're so interrelated, just to have the opportunity for board members to make comments or anything they'd like to do, and then we'll take them up separately. And by the way, Director McKimmy and Director Lee is, Elaine Lees is, recused themselves from this discussion. Board members, any questions, comments that you would like to?
I have one question on the resolution in front of us here. That was on tab 5.
Yeah. The first one?
You mean 03?
There's two of them, actually, two of them. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the first page.
Okay.
It says the contributions per month. Is that current as of now?
Yes, sir. That reflects the 2008 raise.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
Is the 2008 rates of the lowest available healthcare of the three providers or so?
Yes, they are.
I have just a simple, maybe it's not a simple question.
When a retiree becomes 65, they get Medicare. So that would alter their money, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And is it true that the children of the retire, are the children of the retiree covered?
Up to a certain age.
Up to a certain age, if they're in college or in training or?
Yeah, they are covered, and there is an age.
It's 18 or 21 if they're college, right?
I think it's 25 now.
Oh, is it? Okay. That's all I needed.
Short answer to Doug's comment, I mean, we feel where this is coming, and it's PERS ties the things together. Also, past practices tied the annuitants or the retirees into the covered group. And I think this is something the board, even though the action, we take action today to take care of it for today, it's something this board needs to continue to visit. And I think we're all very aware of our responsibility to those of you who have retired with this being a condition of your, even though it floated for many years out there sort of under the radar, and some chiefs may have hidden it from the board as to what was going on, that doesn't absolve us. I can go back and wish that things had been a lot more straightforward, because I don't think we would be in the position we are today if that was true.
Is there, the mention was, if I may speak, that there's, we're tied to the PERS retirement. Is that legally bound to only be that way, or is there any way that it can be separated out? Because I know, being like you're saying, it's like this up and down. Is it done deal? We always have to be tied with the PERS, or is there a legal that says, you know, we can in fact pull one out, which may actually provide for more savings to the district, because then you're open to all kinds of competition for what
my suggestion to the board is that after we get today's action out of the way, which sort of takes care of this, at some point we need to, you talk about issues like how long our dependents go on. I mean, this board needs to be educated as to what we're talking about here, what the real plan is, et cetera, and what our options are moving forward.
Let me just make a couple of comments. Well, certainly, as all of you have thought about this thing quite a bit, I don't know. I'm sure there isn't a public agency that you can imagine that's not dealing with this whole post-retirement healthcare issue, just the very healthcare issue itself. The costs are just growing astronomically, and you're trying to figure out how to deal with them. The GASB 45 requirements are costing billions of dollars, and some entities are having a very difficult time even comprehending how they're going to deal with this. I think in our case, the coast side here, to be kind, I don't think all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted historically is how we dealt with this thing. And I can't point any fingers, I don't mean to do it, I'm sure it wasn't done intentionally, but there were just a lot of things that were not done in hindsight the way we should have done it. And we do need to, going forward, make sure that we do do things correctly. And I would tell you that from just ad hoc comments that I've received, I think it's also complicated because there's more people in the community understand what would be described as very generous post-retirement benefits that we're giving to our employees. Yeah, they're becoming, in some case, a little bit angry as to what the generosity that would have been done with their tax dollars in the past and the future that we're going to do. But having said that, personally, just as a practical and a moral issue, we cannot and we should not renege on the promises we've made. We just, that's it. We go forward in doing it. However, looking ahead a little bit, I think that, that our contract with the local 2881 will provide some separation to, if it in fact gets through the courts, it would provide separation to deal with retirees separately. If that happens, that I think in terms of administering this and going down the road, that would be one benefit of having that. doing that. You know, I'm sure at some point in time the intent was that you'd use this kind of a generous benefit that 99% of the people on the coast side don't enjoy, and I suspect other public agencies don't enjoy. But I'm sure that at some point the board or the management said that, boy, this is the way to keep our employees happy and keep them employed here. Guess what? It didn't work. I mean, it didn't accomplish what probably was one of the intent to go forward with that and so forth. You know, in regard to the retirees, it's been described in various ways as kind of a mixed bag, because we have a lot of different people. We have retired firefighters, we have administrative staff, we have some people that worked here 2 years that are being paid lifetime health care from the taxpayers of this district. And you get down the list and you kind of shudder, wow, how the heck did this take place? But I'm not backing away from the commitment. I think it's happened. We have to, you know, go forward and do it. We know the commitment to the retirees, because we had the actuarial study done, we know is $6.8 million and $382,000 a year is what we're committed to go forward and to do that. That we know. Again, depending on what happens with the 2881 contract, we don't know. We've never actually had an actuarial study done on the active employees if we have to go down that road. We have, in regard to the active employees, an interim MOU. We have committed to them and in the contract to spend up to $1.5 million to buy up their health care, post-retirement health care, so they would have lifetime health care. We paid for that. It's at $1.1 million we paid for it, assuming the courts let us go forward and do this. But we've made that commitment to go forward. I guess the only other comment I'd say is that, you know, this is one of those things that you wish you had in hindsight the opportunity to change a lot of things, but, you know, given the hand that's dealt with, you need to deal with it and you go on with it. And that's my comments on things. If nobody else has a comment, I'd like to ask if somebody would feel free to put forward a resolution, or rather a motion on resolution number
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2008-03.
Second.
One comment is, and that is, I was asking legal counsel here earlier to define for me, because in the title you notice that 22892B1 says at or greater than prescribed by that section. I wonder where that section was. Well, I found it over on page 3 in the notes. Jean was very thorough once she prepared this. There is a, I don't understand why the where is and resolves reoccur back over here, but evidently there looks like 192B is actually listed as to what those amounts are.
Is that just something you wanted to look at?
I just wanted to know, because it bothered me that we were referencing a section that we had no knowledge of what was in the section.
Could we get that information to you? That's not going to affect your vote on this.
No, I think the information's right there. I'm just saying. Just
if you require additional information on it, Greg, maybe you can supply it offline or get it by email or email, whatever.
It's just a matter of comment of creating a resolution that cites a section that's not in the resolution.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's.
I just have one other question. We know that these are now the correct amounts. Is this going back retroactive?
No.
No, so this is from this day forward.
That we will have to deal with that in the future.
Okay.
Yes.
These amounts are from what health plan?
Student PERS, a PERS system, HMO, and these reflect the Kaiser rates.
The Kaiser?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know I have a comment to make, too. The resolution that we talked about in 1979, when it came out, that was around the same time that I initially became a firefighter. And I was a health and fitness coordinator for the San Antonio Fire Department, and still am. And I went back to Oklahoma State University studies at that time. Firefighters lived to be an average of less than 50 years old. That was nationwide. So you can see, it was definitely not seen at that time as an unfunded liability, because the firefighters on the whole, and look at firefighters that you see in this department, understand that they're going to live an average of 10 years less than the general population. Still looking at that. And back then, it was almost 20 years less than the general population. So I think any medical benefits that we can give them are well deserved.
Any other further comments?
Who seconded the motion, if I may add?
I did. And I think the only thing I'd add is I'm glad the new board has a chance to make this correction, and I'm hoping this is the first of several steps forward we can make on the benefit issues. So I'm pleased to second the motion.
All right. Call for the question, and Gene, we need a roll call vote, please.
Director McIntosh?
Yes.
Director McShane?
Yes.
Director Hostel?
Yes.
Director Celia?
Yes.
Director Baker?
Yes.
And Director Cockrell?
Yes.
And President Burke?
Yes.
Motion carries 7-0 by roll call.
Thank you. Going forward under tab number 6 is resolution 200805. I could have a motion, and then we could have any discussion if anybody has any on this one.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2008-05.
I'll second.
So motion made and second. Discussion?
I just note that the request made by the firefighters to put this into, to do something different than what we're doing here. And I'm cognizant of that. I'm concerned, though, the length of time and how far we let this build up. That it is time that we need to take action. We let the retirees go too far out without doing something, and so it's a difficult balance to make that. But after thinking about it for a while, I think this is the right. What we're doing here is the right thing to do at this point.
Thank you, Director McIntosh. Any other comments? Roll call vote, please, Gene.
Director McIntosh.
Yes.
Director McShane?
Yes.
Director Hostel?
Yes.
Director Zillian?
Yes.
Director Draper?
Yes.
Director Cockrell?
Yes.
President Burke?
Yes.
Motion carries 7-0.
We'll go find the rest of our board members.
Yes, we'll be back. Thank you very much. Thank you. Under new business, the audit reports. Item D, under 8, the audit report for the Hackham Bay Fire District. The audit report is in your packet under tab number 7. On the audit report, could I have a motion to accept it, and then we'll see if we have any discussion to go forward. To accept the final audit report for the Hackham Bay Fire Protection District.
I'll make a motion to accept the Hackham Bay Fire Protection District audit report of June
30th, 2007. Thank you. Second, please.
Second.
Second. Comments, discussion? I would tell you the Finance Committee met earlier this evening. In fact, we've actually had a couple of meetings, I believe, now on this thing to flesh out some questions we had and some comments on the thing. And the Finance Committee did recommend to the board that it be approved. Any further comments or discussion on this?
Yeah, I'm sorry. When we look at our audit report, we have two sections of it. Well, you have more than that, but you've got your auditor's report. Then you're starting on page 3 through page 9. You have what's known as the management's discussion analysis. And you notice in clear parentheses after that that the auditor has put in that this section is unaudited. And what that means is that these are our words. These are what we're saying and attaching to the document. These don't come from the auditor, they come from us. And I preface that because on page 3, for example, under financial highlights, there's a number of statements that are made which are less onerous than the ones that were made in the previous year's audit, but nevertheless, I have some exception to. And for example, the one there that says additional reserve accounts have been established and significantly underfunded.
What were you reading?
I'm on page 3.
Thanks.
He's on target number 6.
Good. And this is something that we've had discussion numerous times at this board, and we have spoken to it, and people have made all kinds of statements about it. Mr. Bloomberg wrote a letter to the editor on January 17th, and in it he said many districts are using, for example, a general fund of 50% as a figure, and then he goes on to specify that number as being somewhere between 1.9 million to 3.9 million. If you look in the audit that you have there, you will notice that we currently have somewhere around $2.4 million in both general operations and undesignated reserves. We have somewhere around $1.3 million additional in designated reserves. And anyway, as you come there and you compare them to Mr. Uhlenberg's report, we don't necessarily have we reached the complete level of audits, but the concept of significantly being behind, in my opinion, just is wrong. We have more money today in reserves than we've ever had in this district's history. Very rapidly things are coming in. We've done a lot of stuff this last year, including paying off a piece of property in 1 year of significant amount. And so while I have no problem with adopting the auditors' report, I have serious concerns about how we have stated our management discussion, and just want that on the record that I don't believe that the numbers match the statements that we've made.
And that's your opinion?
That is my opinion. And that is backed up by the actual numbers. I was also told today, by the way, that Mr. Ira is a member of the Redwood City Council, and this 50% figure is not even one that he uses on his own council. Redwood City, that their numbers are closer to 20 to 30%. So, is that it?
25. Any comments? I'm sorry.
No, there are
none. We can go around it. There's a lot of things in a financial audit that you would not see in other complete audits that somebody might have seen in the private sector or elsewhere. First of all, the numbers that the auditor works with and they provide their checks and balances on are provided by management to the auditor. They don't go check with the contractors and the vendors and all the other people to ensure their accuracy. They do what we give them. They do their check and their diligence due diligence to ensure that they meet the ratios and the other checks that they do. And the auditor has said that this is a satisfactory audit. And I would, in looking at this and trying to look at the last two, three audits that I have seen here in this organization, there are a lot of line items and descriptions that I would have a very difficult time saying, you know, that is really accurate and what is there. The bottom lines are correct, but over the years, terminology has changed and various other things have happened that have turned up the description of some of the line items. I think we have to understand that even the balance sheet here, the balance sheets of this kind of an organization don't include capital assets, they don't include debts, capital debts. So you have kind of a very narrow piece of what it is that we're all about. That this is a report to the board of directors for our consideration of how management has is running the organization and review it and judge whether they're doing a good job and so forth. In that process, in audits that I'm familiar with, the management has their opportunity to also give the board of directors their input as to how they're doing. So you get their view and the management discussion and analysis, which is the first part of this. That's what Chief Cole and the management says that they think they're doing and what their concerns are. And then the auditor itself does through the remainder of this. I don't want to be redundant, but I would say that in the three that I've looked at, there's certainly we are in a much more favorable position financially than we have been in the previous two. And with the previous meetings, we've gone through a couple of items as to why that's happened, the ambulance contract, not having a full-time fire chief, and some of the other things that have helped immensely. And if you go back in the audit, if you have an opportunity, or probably you already had, to go through the information that's on page 30 and 31 in terms of just the revenues and expenditures and how we compare to the budget, I mean, it really is a great job. I mean, the fact is we're really under expenses. We're fortunate that our revenues were up. But when you look at the way we budgeted the past year and what the results were, boy, it's very positive. And we have a motion and a second on the table. I believe we can do this by voice vote.
But I have one rebuttal, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to say it, but management's, the comments here that you see under the management section are not entirely management, meaning Chief Cole and his staff. This is management. This board and members of this board put these comments in here.
I don't know whether the chief, I assume he would chat with various people in his management to try to put his comments in it. But let's not debate the thing here. I made the point. We'll just move on.
I agree with the comments.
This is a fact. Fine. This is a simple fact. Members of this board wrote some of these comments, and they are in there. We need to accept that as fact and move forward. To try and blame it on somebody else is just simply wrong.
Look, I am not trying to blame it on anybody else. I'm saying to you that the management analysis, the responsibility of management, if management chooses to put something in here, they put it in here. That is their job. That's part of their job in the audit process.
Are we proposing the chief had a right to deny what a board director told him to put in?
Certainly can in the management analysis. You bet.
Whoa.
That's his job.
Okay.
What would you have him do?
Well, all I'm trying to say very simply is when a director brings the chief a statement that says, I want this statement in this section, the chief is not in the position to tell that director, no, you can't put it in there. He has to accept it. It's our report. I'm not saying there's anything wrong particularly. I'm just saying, let us accept it as being our statements in addition to the chief's statements.
All right.
That's that simple.
We have a motion and a second to accept the Half Moon Bay Fire Protection District hire for June 30, 2007. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on to the Point Montero audit for June 30, 2007. Do I have a motion to accept the audit?
So moved.
Second.
Moving to second. Discussion. I'm sorry, Jean.
Lane first did, and I seconded it.
Okay.
I didn't move enough, apparently.
Okay. Hearing any discussion, all in favor of approving the Point Montero June 30, 2007 audit, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Unanimous. Okay. We're on F. You know, I understand the significance of what's on here. I would make a personal comment that, given again the status of the lawsuit, the timeliness of it, that, you know, this might be something that we want to wait before we make any decision on this thing, but I'll, whatever you want to get into this policy, because we're going to have to face the policy one way or another, and I would just suggest that, and it might be better just to wait and deal with it when we find out where we stand with the court case. But
sounds good.
Defer.
Then I would move that. Excuse me. Oh. Then Chief, would you? I would just move that we continue this, and again, I'll just say to the March meeting, make a motion to do that if it would be seconded.
Seconded.
And put it on the agenda again for the March meeting, and hopefully we'll have some information as to where we stand on dealing with that.
Move it to continuing business
in the March meeting. Okay. All in favor of continuing this to the March meeting?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Chief, item G.
Directors, I draw your attention to tab 9. February 11th, approximately, a letter was written by our auditor advising us that effective February 11th of 08, they're going to cease to be our services as our auditor. Obviously, when I read this, I was somewhat concerned until I got on the phone and started to inquiry from Mr. Uhlenberg, but he was not available, but the lead auditor that handles our particular account, Sheldon, wrote the letter for Mr. Uhlenberg, stated to me that due to the new accounting standards that have been put in place this last year, and they're really having to meet a certain profit margin, that they had to let 9 and potentially 10 of their, what they consider their smaller clients, give the notice. So we were one of 10 folks that received the same letter. And the result of that is they're looking at what they need to charge for these types of services. And so as a result of that, obviously we've just now accepted the final audits for 2007. So what I have before you with this notification is for you, for your consideration, is to task and direct me to enter into the RFP process to locate another auditor for the district. At which point that I will start that process using the RFP in 2001 as the starting point for this proposal.
I have a question, Chief.
Yes, sir.
What did our last audit cost? Do you have that information?
Total for both Point Montero and Half Moon Bay, approximately just short of $17,000. So we're approximately, and he gave me a number saying typically those clients below $25,000. So based on that number, we're approximately $9,000 below what they consider.
Sorry.
So
stand
the,
outside, or
do we The chief is asking for a...
Turn it down.
You asked me to turn it up.
I know, I know. It's like a marriage, right?
Just give me a hand, all right.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, okay.
How about a motion to direct the chief to send out RFPs and solicit other offers for the district?
I'll second.
You got it, Gene? Nate, a second. You know, just as a comment, I did, at a board meeting, if I recall, sometime last year, we actually had made the, we had a discussion about changing auditors. We had an auditor, this auditor, I think, for a number of years. We got it, only just to have a new person. So frankly, it's probably timely that this happened.
I think we already knew that, too. We have to know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I will try to have something before you, hopefully, the, for your consideration by next month.
I would make a prediction. You will be shocked at what the cost is going to be.
Oh.
I think there's some local people, Westminster Parsons.
Yeah, it's the issue for us is public, the public expertise.
Okay.
Right.